Wednesday, everybody. It is your host, Coach, and we are back to FCC. We got a lot of things to talk about. First things first, 4 weeks out of there. We are a quarter into the NFL season. We've seen a lot of good football. We've seen a lot of horrible football. And what's bad is they played good and still lost. So we don't get to them. As we do, we're going to start off Coach's show with a wonderful apology. Who are we apologizing to today, guys? Chicago Bears fans. Fans, I don't know what you guys are going to do. One game, he threw for 306 yards. Justin Fields had 3 passing touchdowns. He actually looked like a quarterback in this game. And then they still lost. I mean, one of these 0-4 teams had to take an L. You ever said it can't be us because we just lost by 70. We lost by 50. Got 70 on us last week. So, granted, I was going for Denver, and it wasn't looking good at first. You know, 28, what they down? 28-0. And then Russell Magic came out of nowhere. And here we are, Denver with the win, 1-3. So, I'm apologizing to the Chicago Bears fans, just not for anything in particular. Just, man, I'm sorry. I had to apologize to somebody today. It's not going to get better. The schedule doesn't get better, so this team's not going to get better. Defense is pretty horrible. Man, and don't nobody want to be there. He left, but I think it's for other reasons rather than him just getting fired because he wanted to walk away. You have players that don't want to be there anymore. They've walked away already. So there's really no names on the Chicago's team that could do anything quite possibly for them to win outside of tanked season in players. Could that possibly be where they're headed? No. Cardinals obviously ain't tanking. They don't have a roster, and obviously their roster can hang with the Cowboys. So, you know, one of the best ways to push Fields out is to draft somebody better. I mean, it's not like you can literally cut him right now. That'd be a waste. There's so much that's a problem in Chicago. Cutting Justin Fields ain't going to fix your issues. He's going to make you look like the bad guy in the worst way. However, making him go out there looking horrible ain't going to help your organization either. So they found a way to make him look decent, and he still lost. I don't know. I really don't know if there's an answer for this situation. They are 0-4. It's not like the Chicago Bears are about to go on a 12-game winning streak. So what are we looking at? 7 wins, maybe 6. Last in the division. I mean, they look worse than the Vikings. And the Vikings, at least, but the Vikings have pretty damn good offense. They're off their defense. Just don't like to play defense. They want to, I don't know, play hopscotch. That is to the main defense that they run. But I don't know. I don't know what the Chicago Bears' answer is right now. I mean, the answer is you need a better quarterback. But then you put a better quarterback back there. Is the offensive coordinator doing anything? Is the defensive coordinator doing anything? Is the head coach doing anything? There's a lot of holes in Chicago right now. Justin Fields ain't feeling none of them. He's been there as long as he has, and it's looked the same. And he'll have a game like this where you'll question everything that he does. Don't do that. He's not good. He's not going to get back. He won the game in week 4. And he still lost. That's why I'm apologizing to the fans. Like, I don't know what else y'all can do. I mean, just wait till it gets better. I don't know. Because it ain't getting better this season, I can tell you that. But they'll be last place. They'll be last. It'll be Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay, and then Chicago. Enough of apologies. Let's get back to fantasy football. So, did everybody enjoy week four? I know I did. I know some of y'all didn't. I know whoever had AJ Brown was. But let's get one thing clear. We're going to clear this up now. Again, AJ Brown is not trash. It's not garbage. But he's not the number one receiver. And let's move on. But he did play outstandingly with 9 receptions and 175 yards and 2 touchdowns. Before we continue with more, I just wanted to highlight a little bit of AJ Brown. A little bit. We're worried because of that one game. And it's just like, guys, like, you have a game where he didn't play good. Like, it went to Smitty. You have to understand they have two great receivers, whether he's the one, the eight, the tight end receiver slash runner, whatever you want to call AJ Brown, right? He's literally number one, two in targets. Okay. So, with that being said, what he was upset about was his targets. He wants his targets. Why ain't he seeing me? They had that little talk, they had that little spiel. Here you go. This is the result of what happened on the sideline. But you guys don't worry about it. It's in the first 4 weeks, those great receivers, some of them will, some of them won't. But like, for instance, looking at my dad, he out here killing it, right? Raiders ain't winning the football game, though. And he ready to move on. So it's just the first 4 weeks, you gotta let things play out. It's played out enough for the Detroit, for the New York Giants that we might be saying they might be going awesome. It looked bad over there. Man, can't nobody catch. They don't have not one receiver. One. It's like, ugh. Like, I mean, come on. All they have is Daniel Jones. And then it's just like, we ridicule him and then we rip him. It's just like, it's just all he got. Let's look at Pat. I get it. Pat got at least a tight end. But outside that tight end, what did it look like without him? Daniel Jones, right? Not him playing, just the atmosphere of they can't get nothing done. Like, there's nothing in you give him. And I'm not saying Devontae is not going to no Detroit or no New York, but give him the caliber of that type of receiver, at least one. And it's a different story in New York. It looked bad because, man, can't nobody catch. I don't know what. He went from 21 receivers with over 1,000 yards last year. And it's just like, now it's like, can't nobody catch cold. What's going on? My position is just looking like complete garbage half the time. Well, I don't get it. No, don't get me wrong. Some of them is quarterback play. Because your receiver say he always open. He always effing open. Why you can't get him the ball? Well, you can't extend your leg, which means you can't plant your foot, which means you can't extend course to throw. I'm just saying, I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but watch enough football to know what happens when you can't do anything with that. You know that one leg that looked different than the other? The one that they got wrapped up with some tape. Whatever the other cushion they got in there so that Achilles don't continue to rupture. But I don't know. I don't know if he's saying that because quarterback need to play better. I don't know if he's saying that because quarterback need to sit down and they need to get caught pointed throw now. So that girl can get healthy. That statement can be taken many ways. But what his quarterback is saying is right now, or his receiver is saying is right now, that quarterback is playing like booty. Better yet, in our segment, busts. Let's bring up a little bit more of those, i.e., Raheem Mostert. Now look here. A lot of people are doing a lot of trades for Raheem Mostert right now. I'm going to tell you to stop. I'm going to tell you to stop. Don't do that. Here's why. I think Arcane took the knee roll. That's hands down. I think he completely took it. And I think Mostert, he had 9 rushes. He had 3 receptions for 36 yards. And he had a fumble. That could have been just the atmosphere of the game. Could have been the fact that they're playing the Bills. We don't know yet. We'll see what happens next week. But I do think Arcane is coming in at the one, and Raheem is. I don't think they're going to split carries. I think Raheem is going to come in the game, but he's going to get a lot of you know, seven, eight carries, and hopefully, excuse me, in the 40 yards and a touch. But I think most of those carries are going to go to Arcane. We'll see what happens. We'll keep our eye. But if you're making trades for Mostert, hold on. Oh, I mean, technically, it's a buy low right now type of situation. It's not going to hurt anything. But don't be mad if you don't pop off and you got him on your roster. And you know, I'm just saying, Arcane looking real good. As though Debo looked good, Arcane looked better against that Bills defense. Just saying. Let's see, Debo. Yeah, it wasn't a Debo game. It was a Christian McCaffrey game. Sometimes that happens. It's just you'd be better off just sitting with zero, right? He had the 6 rushing yards. He didn't even catch one. Brandon Ayuk did though. Why? Because he's the receiver on the team. George Kittle again. I don't know why George Kittle should be. They have him here, and he was a little bit of a bust. But my thing is, when all the weapons are there, George Kittle can't be considered a bust because George Kittle don't get the targets like that. I mean, if you start George Kittle when Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, and Debo are playing, you're risking 1.9 points. That's the way it is. It's only but so many targets that are going around, and most of those catchings or receiving targets are going to Ayuk. Chris Olave, yeah, you are a bust this week, buddy. But one of those busts that will have a bounce back. It's just I think the well, I don't know if Carr should have played. I don't think him and throwing down the field were better than prior to the, you know, prior to the concussion. Yeah, but Kamara got a lot of work. Why? Quick jump offs. That's what they were planning on doing. Now, I really sucks because I wanted people to start Kamara last week, but didn't know Carr was playing. It looked like that one boy. Oh my goodness. G not Oh, coach having a brain fart. Jameis Winston, I thought he was starting. But I went to we did go to their car, and as we saw, Kamara had a really, really good game. And I think that's going to continue with Carr. I think with, you know, something I said, with all the other quarterbacks outside of Breeze, Kamara did not look good. However, he may look good with Carr as he did with the first game, but we have to wait and see. Again, it was just one game, no film on him. Week 4, we'll see what happens as the weeks progress. But if you do have Alvin Kamara on your roster, that was a good 21 points if you did start him. And last but not least, TJ Hockenson, 2 receptions for 24 yards, only 4 points. You're gonna get about that was a bust week for him, and you're gonna get about 3 or 4 more weeks of TJ Hockenson as a bust. I wouldn't say sitting because you don't know when those other 3, 4 games are gonna actually happen. I would just more so just say the have your roster not wrapped around him, have it more wrapped around other weapons. You know, if you got TJ Hockenson as your tight end, hope for the best, expect something like this because it can happen. Don't get me wrong. Defenses are going to start getting a little tighter. They got to focus on one man only. So it may be an off and on game between him and Jefferson now, targets, which may increase target shares for Jordan Addison. Maybe. We have to kind of wait and see how that progresses. So if you have Jordan Addison on your bench, I would keep an eye on to see how those target shares increase because when defenses start getting tougher on Jettas and Hockenson, it's going to open up for that nickel, who is pretty weak on every defense, just about. So that third receiver is going to get a lot of action. All right, so let's look at our what do we have. Our overall studs for the week of week 4. We had Nico Collins, 7 receptions, 168 yards, and 2 touchdowns. 35 points to fantasy football. Beast. Now, I know everybody had Tank Dell. A little disappointed in Tank Dell because he had 2 great progressive weeks and he had a down week. Don't worry about that. Now, what I will say, those down weeks are going to be consistent in about, like I said, with TJ Hockenson. You can expect Tank Dell to have about maybe 5 weeks like that. The other weeks, I think. See him between 11, 15, and 20 points, but he will have those 5 weeks of downs. They're going to be So be ready to know how to flex or not play tanked in, meaning have other weapons, because if Nico Collins is going off, it's going to continue that way. Stephon Diggs, I love it when you play hot in hot weather. It ain't cold yet. Six receptions, 120 yards, two touchdowns, 36 points. It's real good. Same as Josh Allen, Mr. God of Football, 21 for 25. Oh, perfect. I love that. 320 yards, four touchdowns, seven rushing touchdowns, and 117 rushes and a rushing touchdown. No interceptions, no fumbles. This is the, when you it can't get no better than that. And that's against Miami. We'll get that Vic Fangio defense. So I was really impressed for Josh Allen to play as great as he did in that division game as well. Again, as we talked about, AJ Brown, nine receptions, 175 yards and two touchdowns. I know for a fact he was a hero because a lot of people were worried because he wasn't getting too much work. But he was getting the work, but he wasn't. It was spotty here and there, and then he just kind of went off. He's still staying too. And wow, week four, and we see it every year. Defenses come out a bit tougher in the first half. That third quarter kickoff, I'm going in like 7 minutes left. The defenses are going to literally deflate, not play soft. No, they're going to deflate. Okay, as you can tell by the receptions of most of these receivers, 168 yards, 120 yards, 175 yards. Okay, they deflated, period. Those defenses absolutely deflated. And that's just, they came out very, very strong in that first half. That's just usually what happens. And don't get me, it's a weird thing because next week we're going to see a more, that's what I'm saying, be wary of your receivers when you start. We're going to talk about that going into, we're going to talk about that on tomorrow's episode, not tomorrow, Friday's episode. These defenses coming into week five are going to establish themselves as the top fives, okay, top tens of the NFL. So we're going to get some nasty football play from receivers, meaning it's going to be ugly. Now, your top receiver may have 112 yards at the end of week five, maybe 125. Just depending on who what the defense is playing, what receiver is playing what defense. But this week you saw a lot of big receiver, like even Ayuk, he had 150 yards, I think 157 yards. Like it's just it's that time of the week, it's that time of the year, week four. It's come out hard, and then it's just a weird inflation of the defense, and all these points come out of nowhere. Look at Chicago. They were up 28-0 and then completely deflated in the second half. Christian McCaffrey, 106 rushing yards, three touchdowns, seven receptions for 71 yards and a touchdown. So this dude put up 177 yards total and four touchdowns total. Oh, well, I tell you what, Christian McCaffrey is playing like the hero of week four. Yes, he is the absolute hero because, man, he has been playing like this since week one. Him and Tyreek Hill, somebody races for MVP. Christian McCaffrey, or doggone Tyreek Hill, but one of the bad boys is racing for NFL MVP because they are putting up ridiculous numbers, man. Ridiculous numbers. Some more breaks and some more heroes over the weekend. Hey, if you had Justin Fields, he was a hero for you. He had 28 for 35. Good numbers, 335 yards. Four touchdowns, actually, instead of a touchdown, instead of three. He did have one interception and one fumble. But he was a hero because he had 27 points in fantasy at quarterback position. So I'm sure he saved somebody's life. Here you go, Jalen Hurst. Look, it looked ugly, right? It looked ugly because in the first half, he didn't have much. It happens, guys. And remember, Jalen Hurst, most of those points come from him rushing touchdowns. He'll get you a couple of touchdowns. These 319 yards he had, you're not going to see that every week. You're going to see 193, 205, 218, but he's going to have three touchdowns most of the time. So you're always going to see Jalen Hurst between 22 in 28 points all the time. So don't ever worry about Jalen Hurts unless it's like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter and do they get you a touchdown yet? What is that panic mode? Lamar Jackson, 15 for 19, 186 yards, Well, he did have two touchdowns and two rushing touchdowns off 27 rushing yards. So 28 points for him. Anthony Richards, 11 for 25, 200 yards and two touchdowns. 29 points for this young man. And of course, as we talked to him prior, Josh, the god of football, fantasy football, Allen. 36.5 points. Running backs outside of Christian McCaffrey, we had David Montgomery. Hey, got this one. This one, guys, be worried about Gibbs. Be worried about it. So he is number two in this offense for Detroit. David Montgomery is the lead back, and he's going to stay that way unless he gets hurt, period. It's not going to be a shared situation. Gibbs is going to have to do the most with the opportunities that he gets. That's how I look at it. Josh Jacobs, 58 rushing yards, one touchdown, eight receptions for 81 yards. You are a hero because, I get it, your rushing yards were pretty booty, but you did put that work in that passing game that is. It looked really good for eight receptions for 81 yards. Tyron Williams, I've been really impressed with what I've been seeing out of you lately. 103 rushing yards, two touchdowns, three receptions, and 24 yards. 24 yards receiving. And Devon McCain, 101 rushing yards, two touchdowns, three for 19, 27 points in fantasy. He is the lead back in Miami. I'm worried for Raheem Mostert now. They unleashed this kid. They're not taking the reins off. I'm sorry. So Raheem is the number two now, and I don't think it's going to be a shared number two for that group either. Receiving heroes, DJ Moore. Hey, we got a good game out of them. They finally, again, it was Denver. We got to see if this continues. But outside of AJ Brown, Stephon Diggs, who we discussed, and Nico Collins, who we discussed, we have DJ Moore for eight receptions, 131 yards and a touchdown. And we have Puka Nacua, who is still eating, nine receptions, 163 yards, and one touchdown, 31 points of fantasy. And with Puka Nacua scoring as high as he did, this brings me to the point about the Rams. They have another running back. They got Puka Nacua. They get Puka Tup back. He practices this week. Same as Jonathan Taylor. He practices this week, okay? Because our next segment for why we're speaking about practice is because we're going into coaches' camp. And we about to vacate everybody that started damn near the beginning of the season on the pub list. And y'all can go ahead and come up off my couch. Taylor, come on out of there. Come on out of there. Let's get to practice. Let's get to work. And let's get these people some fantasy points. Okay? We ain't got time to keep holding y'all onto the roster. Eckler, you week to week still. I'm a little worried about you still. Okay? You ain't on the pub list, but you know, all these pub list people, come on off the couch. Vacate. Okay? We got people like Judon. We got to see what happens. He's going to be on the couch for a couple months after this surgery. Aaron Rodgers, Nick Chubb, Trayvon Diggs, CJ Garner-Johnson, J.K. Dobbins. Jack Thompson, Avante Maddox, Mike Williams. These guys need couch space. So week four public people, come off the couch, exit to the right, head on, get your pads, let's get to practice, let's get on the field, let's get some fantasy points going, let's play some football. Everybody else, the couch is for season-long personnel. We are not here for you part-time herders. Get off the couch. Get to work. Eat some Wheaties. Get some strong muscle fiber. Okay? Eat some vegetables. Stop sucking down all that Chick-fil-A. Goodness gracious. Brittle bones, pimps. Brittle bones. We got to get stronger. Okay, but I'm loving what I'm seeing out these fantasy heroes. Hopefully, some of these couch sitters will turn into some fantasy heroes here within week five, week six. Okay? One thing as it pertains to the Chicago Bears, like we saw good football. We've got a lot of good people in our fantasy hero lineup. Here's the problem with that. They most likely gonna be bust next week. Most likely. I am a Chicago Bears fan. I'm from Chicago. I'm from Waukegan, Illinois. I'm blue and I'm blue and orange. Okay. Same way as I'm blue and red, same way as I'm green and blue. Okay. I got a lot of teams that I got specific connections to at specific times in my life. Yes, I'm blue and red. Save me, Texans. Oh, I'm blue and red. Because I was a car fan. Okay. I have ties to different teams. But Chicago, this one rolls a little deeper. See, now, in coach's last words, we got to take this one a little personal. I've been a fan of this organization, I think, since I could look at the TV and watch football. I watched so many different Bears paraphernalia were around my house. Clearly enough, a lot of people in my family were Vikings fans. But I've gone my life hearing since the days of Walter Payton, and I wasn't alive. I was alive, but not alive. You know, again, I wasn't watching football during Walter Payton time. I kind of caught it a little bit after, but it's so many excuses for this organization that people make, and we need to come maybe to a realization. It hurts my heart to say, for my last words of this episode. I think it's time the Chicago Bears think about selling this organization to another owner. There have been too many times I've watched this organization make horrendous decisions on this team. And then I watched this team too many times start over. Bears never needed Brandon Marshall. There was nothing for Brandon Marshall to do in Chicago. Honestly, had to follow Jay Cutler, who paid off his gambling debt. Jay Cutler was not the quarterback the Bears needed, and then Jay Cutler was not the quarterback the Bears needed to candidly pay so much money to and do absolutely nothing. We made it to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman. That speaks a lot of volume. See, that was the days of a great Chicago Bears team. What that mean was they didn't need the quarterback to do all the work. They needed the quarterback to just be safe. And sometimes people, that's God, that's okay. That is okay. Okay, we don't need a quarterback to throw 50 times a game and think that's our Super Bowl quarterback. Hey. Why? If he only connected 50 of those 28 times. Just sounds like you playing jackpot out here. Just launch it up. Let's all become Kyler Murray. I've watched so many bad decisions happen. And have you noticed outside of me just always saying that he should have never been a Chicago Bear because I never thought he was a quarterback and I just never thought he was going to do anything for this team. Well, outside of me just knowing and saying those things, like I don't say much about Justin Fields because, again, last year he had a crappy coach, which was the same year before that as a rookie because look what happened to Mitchell Trubisky, who should have never been a Chicago Bear. Do you see my pain for this organization? So many decisions and bad ones were made, and nothing good has come from any of it. Not from the general manager, not from the head coaches, not from the ownership themselves. You are going to lose the fans in that great city if you don't do something fast. Like, come on, how many more years do they have to sit in that cold stadium wanting to be in that cold stadium to watch their football team just look stupid? Because you got somebody who can't throw a football accurately. Three different times. Oh, you thought that was an accurate quarterback? Let's see. If he was an accurate quarterback, what did that get you for the 10, 12 years you had on there? Please tell me. Last time I checked, he actually made it to the playoffs and ended up on a bicycle because of his thumb and pissed off the entire organization. Lost his wife. That's the quarterback you had running the Bears organization. Just to hand it over to Mitch Trubisky, who should have never been there. Chicago Bears played one of their best games they've been playing in a long time. And they took an L because the other 0-14 couldn't lose. Get that? So what is it, Chicago? You just didn't have enough in there. It was there, but we didn't have enough. Like what? What do you want fans to continuously pay these ticket prices for? We can't buy groceries. You are making us sell plasma so we can put gas in our tanks. Okay, pawn shops have never been more full. People are out here broke. You know, they're broke. We have no money. We can barely buy groceries in our own homes because of inflation, and it is bad. And then streaming services decided to say, oh, but guess what? Y'all going from $6.99 to $18. No, I'm not, but I'm going to let you think that. Do you see my point? And now you're going to sit here and tell me that people who, blue-collar people who pay good money for your expensive tickets, this is the product you want them to witness. You have to. You can't say no to this because this is what you gave them. You've given them this the last 3 years. Longer than that, really. We're just going to pinpoint on field, though. And somehow you thought that was a great choice. That boy sat there on that couch with a pouty face, knowing damn well he didn't come to Chicago. Knowing damn well there was nothing here for him. And, here's the results. Chicago, you got to make one of these mistakes. You got to fix something. You do, because these fans don't deserve this. Like, when is the last time you've even been to the playoffs? When was the last time you beat Green Bay? When was the last time you led the division? When is the last time the Chicago Bears have been a force to reckon with? I'll tell you. I know exactly when. When Brian Urlacher was there. Yeah. No time of Brandon Marshall and Martellus Bennett and the big three monsters in the midway. Nope. I don't want none of that garbage. Nope. You can give me a little bit of peanut, but he was over there with Urlacher too. Give me the Urlacher. That last time I saw the Bears ever great. Since then, nope. They've been good. They've gotten by. And then they've had Jay Cutler. Like, what do you want me to do with that, people? And now we got Justin Fields, who had the best game of his career. His career. They still lost. To a team whose defense allowed 70 points last week. You were beating them 28-0, and then you lost. I think by three. What do you want me to do with that, Chicago? At this point, I think it is time for ownership to sell. I think new ownership needs to come in, new vision needs to come in. New direction, new mission, new everything, because you're going to lose financially when these people stop coming to the stadium. Did you not see what happened to the Giants the other day when they were losing? People walked out. They left the stadium. They don't care. It's the fact that it wasn't even Giants weren't even putting up a fight in the loss. They were just losing. Nobody can catch a football over there. No one. You got Adams out here mad, literally telling people, I ain't got time. Why? Yes, he's an old receiver. So, yeah, you know where he's going? To somebody. He's getting traded this year. And he's going to somebody that can need to use him. I don't know. Maybe the Chiefs, who got a quarterback who is literally carrying that team 3-1. Yeah, he needs a receiver badly. He could use Davante Adams badly. Waddle, another one. He's getting traded because he can be used as a one. He's not going to be you got Berrios getting more touches than Waddle. And it's not Waddle's fault. It's the fact that Hill is the man there. And now Arcane is the man. Target share people. So yeah, Waddle's gonna be another one. Would I be surprised if the Chiefs messed around and got both Waddle and Adams? No, I wouldn't be. It'd be a dream come true. I don't think that dream's gonna happen. But I do see the Chiefs getting one of those two receivers to make their organization better. See, that Chicago is what's called a great decision. Not picking up Nathan Peterman, a worse quarterback than Justin Fields. What was your decision? Point blank, coach says some outlandish things. Well, here's the outlandish thing for week four. The Chicago Bears need to sell. A new owner needs to come in and take over. Coach has had a wonderful episode. I hope you all have enjoyed. This one was a little short. As you can see in Coach's eyes, I need to go get some sleep. I am tired, but don't worry. We got another show tomorrow. Coach has another show Friday. We got a lot of great things to talk about and get ready for week five because we have a lot of good, we have a lot of important information to come out because why? Coach's couch is emptying out. These players, these published players that have been on my couch for 4 weeks, they about to go to practice. They about to go to work. So we got a lot of people to talk about. We got a lot of people we got to pick up off the waiver wire. We got a lot of targets we got to target off the waiver wire. We got a lot of buy lows and sell high players we got to discuss as well. All that we're going to discuss tomorrow before that wonderful Thursday night football game. I hope you guys enjoyed last week. I hope you guys enjoyed the morning game. We're going to get used to it. London games ain't going nowhere. If you live in the Midwest, we're going to get up 6 o'clock in the morning to catch the 8 o'clock game. You live out west. I don't know what time you got to get up. I think you just got to wake up and catch them highlights if you're in California. Us, it's a little different. I think this game starts at like 10 o'clock over here on the East Coast. I could do that. Little breakfast game. I like that. Move out to the East. Don't come to Miami. Go like New York or something. Don't come over here. We flooded with people. Stay out. Y'all have a wonderful day. Coach is out.
Thank you for staying to the end. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video, subscribe, and also hit that notification button so you can be notified next time we put out a video. If you're listening on any podcast platform, subscribe and hit that notification button, y'all, so you can be notified we put out another podcast audio. And last but not least, hit that share button. No matter what you're listening to or watching it, hit that share button and send it to somebody that you know that would love to watch this episode you just listened to. So once again, thank you for staying to the end, and we'll see y'all in the next episode.